Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Hello again, me Popsicles, and welcome to Season 2 of Science Fiction Remnant.
Go ahead and grab your multipass, a drink, and sit back with us and geek out about sci-fi.
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
And hang around to the end of the episodes for the real-world science that was inspired by your favorite science fiction.
Let's do this. Let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, Anchor,
Audible, Good Pods,
or whatever you listen to podcasts.
You can catch the video pods on our YouTube a month later.
And don't forget your multipass, you me popsicles.
Science Fiction Remnant is brought to you by the hashtag This Is Sci-Fi. No Capone cuties were harmed in the making of this commercial. Ba, 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 ba.
Palmer, underneath the hopes of a bright future were suspicions.
I feel like something bad is going to happen to me.
That death was near.
You scared of dying?
Yeah, of course I'm scared of dying.
That was the last time that I saw her.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host Kevin. With me as always is Aaron.
Hello on this glorious Friday.
This week we're discussing the Australian horror, found footage, documentary style horror film, Lake Mungo, starring many Australian actors who I'm sure are very talented, but I'm unfamiliar with.
This is barely a found footage. This is no Cannibal Holocaust. That's found footage. Blair Witch, that's found footage.
Yes.
You can't call it a found footage film when there's really 5 minutes of found footage in the rest of this 6-7 hour slog that is Lake Mungo.
You always mention Cannibal Holocaust. Have you even seen Cannibal Holocaust?
We recorded it.
We did not. You always think we did. We have never discussed Cannibal Holocaust.
We recorded that. Why would I have watched it?
I don't know.
Did we record it for a different show?
It was on Joe Bob Briggs one season, and they had to have
maybe
a trigger
I was at your
warning.
House and we watched it, because why would I volunteer to watch that? I had to have been with you, so we must have been over at your house or something.
What do you think
and
Cannibal Holocaust
I'm repping our merch, drinking my coffee, for those of you on video.
Oh, beautiful.
I bought an espresso machine after using one at my hotel in San Francisco, and now I pay like a... which in effect is a Keurig, only it tastes much better and is like 4 times the price.
Now, do you remember the plot of Cannibal Holocaust? This is a quiz.
There was a lot of not so much cannibals, not so much Holocaust, a lot of animals getting chopped up.
And that's true.
That was basically, most things getting chopped up are animals of the jungle.
Right.
Actually, the backstory, if I recall, of Cannibal Holocaust is much more interesting than Cannibal Holocaust.
It's pretty interesting. Well, hang on. Let me.
Is there a document? There should be a family documentary on the making of Cannibal Holocaust. They've missed their window. I'm assuming that all the Italians involved have gone on to Jesus.
I mean, I know a lot about it, and we could do an episode on Cannibal Holocaust at some point, Aaron. If this is a burn your saddle, absolutely. So think about it.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. So other than your Nespresso machine and your thoughts of Cannibal Holocaust, what's going on with you?
I keep to just buy it because they're so f***ing expensive. So I bought one on eBay, which I promptly had to return. I ordered my coffee, I throw it in, and water starts pouring out of the bottom. I'm like,
don't buy old used crap.
Like, man, these things are freaking expensive. So I returned it, no problem. The seller was fantastic. So then I bought a more expensive one. I bought one that was double the price, thinking that would be better. And actually, so it makes the espresso, and then it has a container for milk. So after it's made your coffee, then it heats up and whips up your milk. And then you can just pull that thing out and put it in your fridge when you're ready.
I mean, doesn't the milk get curdled and gross if you leave it in there on your counter for weeks on end?
That's why you take it out, put it back in your fridge.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
It's detachable, and then you close the little lever. Yeah.
It's not pouring old cottage cheese into your coffee, is what you're saying?
We could experiment. What if instead of water, I filled it up with wine? And what if instead of milk, I just put Hershey syrup?
Why not? Why not, indeed?
We have to come up with something better. I put rum in the back. It pushes through. And then, I don't know, sweetened condensed milk comes out.
Why not?
Roll the
dice.
I did see this thing where you can make, if you have one of the Italian coffee pots, you put in like instead of water, you put in an Italian liqueur and it pushes through the coffee and you have some, in the original Red Bull, I'm guessing.
Oh, nice. Look at that. That's something.
That's something.
That's something. Give us your 30-second synopsis of Lake.
I've reached the stage in my life. This is the year, Kevin. This is the year where I went from wearing post-COVID, I dressed up very nicely to work. You would think I worked in an office, perhaps a young attorney.
a young attorney. Interesting.
High heels to work, clickety-clack, nylons. This is the year where I bought not only... did I buy Birkenstocks used on Poshmark? This weekend, I bought. What did I buy?
That's a good story.
Guess what I bought?
Sweatpants? I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
Oh, God. I wish I had sweatpants on right now. Crocs. I bought a pair of Crocs at the outlet.
Very nice. Very nice.
And only because when I went to my Polaroid thing, someone had given me a little film charm for Crocs, and I wanted that charm.
So do you wear these to work, your Crocs?
I just bought them yesterday.
Well, is it your plan to wear them to work?
Who can say?
Well, you talked about clickety-clack, you're a young lawyer, and now it's...
I used to be dressed up all the time, so I may be busting out some sweats. This could be the Tuesday after Easter where I just roll up in a sweatshirt, my hair in a messy bun, sweatpants, eating an apple, drinking coffee as I'm teaching children because I've just given up.
You know, when I first started teaching, I found it hilarious because you had kind of, you know, generally speaking, you had two different styles in the female teachers. You had the young teachers in their early 20s wearing like spike heels, ready to hit the club right after work. I'm not even going home first. I'm hitting the club right after work. Conversely, you had kind of the older teachers where this one teacher had like kind of sweatpants, leggings with like martini glasses all over. Like that was the pattern repeated on her. Yeah, that's what you get. I just rolled out of bed or I may not be going home tonight. Kind of. It depends on your look.
It's your level of exhaustion and as it breaks down. And LuLaRue was the breakdown of all teachers because once that came out, it used to be just old hippie dresses, so no one knows that you just stopped shaving your legs. And then it was general legging, so you can just sit spread eagle and not give a F.
But what
then,
class is this that you're spread eagle?
This is every elementary school teacher.
Interesting.
And then LuLaRoe came, where you had to have weird sweatpants that coordinated with your weird tunic, so it's just like you're wearing gym clothes, so you can lay on the floor when the kids are at recess.
Interesting. You slowly just
become dead inside. And I yelled at my cousin. She's like, maxi skirts. It's all the same thing, where it's your level of care. Like, you, at first, you're fresh, you're dressed up, you're buying the special clothes, and by the end of your career, it's like, what? I just don't even care. I don't even care, and what can just get me through the day?
Maybe I'll bathe, maybe I'll brush my teeth, but no promises.
That's
what you're saying.
That's why they invented chicle and the messy bun.
You don't know how many messy buns we've got. The top knots coming out of nowhere. Yes, forget about it. Anyway. No.
I call it as I see it. I did wear a maxi skirt once to work, and I was like, oh no. I would almost rather wear sweats because now I'm wearing old teacher uniform, and I promptly put it in the Goodwill box.
This is a riveting conversation. Would you give us Lake Mungo, for God's sakes?
A girl dies. Who, I swear, when they pulled her body out of the lake, I thought was 8 years old. I missed half the... I don't know what was going on, but apparently is a teenager.
She's 16.
And is the house haunted or not?
Is that it?
Can't you see the future? The end. It's about 6 hours long.
It is not 6 hours long.
It is slow AF. And I didn't feel it was documentary style until, like, I didn't feel it was a legit documentary from olden times until maybe halfway through. It took forever.
Now, you suggested this a couple times. I remember hearing
it. I never suggested it because I'd never heard of it. Stop lying.
No, this is how it started. Absolutely. Wow. This is how it started. I do a poll every Saturday saying, here's four movies, choose one of them. And I always ask you, give me a suggestion. Lake Mungo came from you.
Oh, maybe somebody else had suggested, because I didn't know anything about it.
I
thought it was something horrible and terrible, so I had no idea what it was about.
I had heard of it from, I feel like there was one of those, the scariest movie moments, blah, blah, blah. One of those documentaries. I can't remember. I watched so many of those. I love those. If you have a chance.
Hey, first of all, if this made that list, then yes, throw out the whole series.
Throw out the list. They had, I think, any kind of, and I complain about the Oscars for this reason, because I feel like I want to watch clips. Give me clips. I want nothing but clips. Award show.
I don't want
That's
to
what
your
I want.
Thoughts. Stop faking your mom, your agent, your
don't
brother
need it.
That you make out with. None of that. I don't give a shit about that.
Movie montages. That's what I want. Okay.
That's so, entertainment. You want that, that's entertainment.
100%.
Contemporary.
Contemporary, that's entertainment. People don't remember that's entertainment.
That's entertainment. They can't bring the corpse of Gene Kelly to host it again with Fred Smith.
I think there was a horror movie where there was a ghostly Gene Kelly corpsey, if I'm remembering. Ghost Story, I think, from the early 80s. Go back, check it out.
Peter Straub, Ghost Story, had ghost Gene Kelly?
No, they made a movie out of it.
Yes, but I don't remember Gene Kelly in it.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's Fred Astaire. One of those old dancing people are in it, and then there's a ghosty ghost in it. That's neither here nor there.
I didn't think that book was scary, and I didn't think that movie was scary. FYI.
Anyway, I was watching one of those scariest movie moments, and they mentioned Lake Mungo, and I had never heard of it. But
Fred Astaire.
So they showed
all old cast: Melvin Douglas, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., John Houseman. Patricia Neal, she was married to Roald Dahl, but then he ran off with her nurse after she had a stroke.
Well, and he's a horrible racist and xenophobe to add that to his list. So I remember vaguely something about this movie, but I didn't remember the specifics at all. So needless to say, this is your and I first viewing of Lake Mungo, correct?
True. I had never heard of it before, except we were on a podcast that talked about it.
Right. That was me as well. So that, you know, it wasn't like there was any, really no occasion where we saw it in theaters or anything like that. I don't remember hearing anything about this. And I think it's, is it pushing 20 years old? Something like that? 2008 it came out. So,
it came out in 2008, but it takes place in 2005.
Correct. Like they gathered all the information. And now I kept thinking it was kind of like In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, one of those kind of documentary shows from the 70s.
In Search Of Bigfoot.
Yes.
In Search Of was the best.
It was the best.
Like, what's it going to be next?
That and monsters. Right. Good stuff. Go back. These are between That's Entertainment and In Search Of, we're very...
We're becoming a very niche show.
You're telling me. You are telling me.
We're going to get the OK Boomer comments in our podcast.
Oh, it's definitely OK Greatest Generation at this stage of the game. I mean, we're going further back. When you start dropping Fred Astaire references, I don't even know if that's Boomer anymore.
I've seen old movies, but so I can't help it. There has to be young people who watch old movies somewhere.
There has to be. Some people, as they slowly die out. it starts out telling the story of a girl, 16-year-old girl, who drowned, or just kind of she disappeared initially while the family took like a day trip to the lake or something along those lines.
Right. But she didn't drown in Lake Mungo.
No. Lake Mungo takes, there's 5 minutes of this movie that takes place in Lake Mungo. And it's not a lake. Spoiler alert. There's no body of water at Lake Mungo. So
some seepage pools or something.
Could be. So after she dies, then it's, they start, you know, things happen in the house. They're setting up cameras. And people are like, oh, I think I see her wandering somewhere. I don't know. Do they ever conclusively say, I shouldn't say that. At the end, there's a big reveal, but during the course of the movie, there's really no, like, oh, it's obviously, like, the house is haunted. Am I wrong? Well, or
they say that the house is haunted, then they pull back and say, no, it's a scam. Right. Then they pull back, the house is haunted.
100%. Well, it was some stupid thing where it was, like, the younger brother was kind of faking things.
He's faking things to draw attention. So he says to draw attention to his sister to still figure out what was going on, which didn't make sense to me. She was murdered. You're there with the whole family.
Right.
Or does he think that she got a bump on her head and is now just like a wild girl living in the bayou of whatever lake they were in? No, just wandering around with the eucalyptus and the koala.
What was that? There was that movie that came out a summer or two ago where it was like a swamp girl. This girl lives in the swamp and everybody hates her because they don't trust her.
The most horrible movie. Oh my God. What was that?
God, it was like where the crawdads sing.
Where the crawdaddies die, whatever. That was terrible. And I walk out of the movie, I'm like, this thing don't make any sense. And our mother and aunt are like, oh, what do you mean? The book was amazing. I'm like, I didn't just see the book.
She was a swamp girl who was pleasantly fresh and you know, fresh smelling. So I appreciate it.
Because that's what happens when you have like the crazy abusive father who then you're just raising yourself.
Yes.
Clean clothes, clean hair.
Yeah.
Come on.
Deodorant.
People know she's by herself and they do nothing to help her.
Yeah.
Except buy her whatever shit she's selling.
That's not Lake Mungo. That she basically no, and there's
well,
no.
If you present the two, I definitely prefer like Mungo.
That's something. Now, you think there's some kind of foul play with how the girl drowns, but there wasn't, right? She just drowns. Shit happens. Right.
Then you think she's not really dead. There's right. been a mistake. She just loses a goose, but then they do DNA tests.
They exhume her body and do DNA tests, and they're like, whoops. That's it. Right. So that was the thing. So this, right. It was a lot of kind of false starts and red herrings. So it was constantly things. It's like, oh, you know, that figure you saw in the hall was just the brother doing some shit. Now, they did do something that was interesting, where it was like, you look at the photo, you see one thing, and they're like, well, upon second review, there's actually a second person in this picture that we didn't notice the first time.
Yeah. Well,
but
multiple photographers shooting the similar area.
That's true. But the thing about it, a lot of those photos, the other person was always there. It's just that your eyes are drawn to where there's, you know, the center of the photo, so you don't see the second figure over on the side. So then there was that reveal where it was like, oh, yeah, that was just the brother walking through the house late at night. But wait a minute, there's a face over here, and that was the neighbor. The neighbor was in the house for some reason.
And let me ask you this.
Please.
Maybe it's just me. Were some of these ghost images so dark that you couldn't really see them? There was like, maybe it's because I was watching in my room, but some of it I was like, what? I don't see shit.
There was one where it was like kind of like a little mirror on a table. And if you zoomed in, you were supposed to see her face reflected in the mirror. But I couldn't see that at all.
I couldn't see that at all. And then it was revealed that he had a video on the TV that was a setup.
Right. He had the mirror reflect the image from the TV where they were playing old home movies.
Which is a great idea for a photography setup. I was like, oh, I should do something like that.
Right.
Mirrors reflect different images of somebody else, like make it look ghostly. But then that whole thing where it's all set up. Most of the stuff that the brother recorded, except for the reveal that they see the neighbor's face, which I could not see. And then finally I saw like a little monkey face. I wouldn't have been able to identify Cornelius there from my neighbor.
Curious
my
George.
Dog,
right.
No. Curious George. He was a good little monkey, but he was always curious.
A little too curious, some would argue.
Things that all of a sudden started popping in that had nothing to do with ghosts and how would the neighbor have murdered her? You know, I mean, I think they were starting to think that, except they were all together in the water. They got out, she did not.
Right. She was right behind the brother. And that was the thing about, we're kind of jumping all over the place. The thing about this is the father's acting style was such that I wonder if they were trying to make him seem suspicious, because his attitude was always very much kind of like, yeah, he's got kind of a smirk on his face, you know, yeah, she didn't come out of the water that day, you know, yeah, I got back to work the next day and, you know, it was fine and blah, blah, blah.
I feel like what he was trying to present would be just like the rational dad, where it's like, I don't want to be involved in all of this. Let me just mourn my child and move on. And he's being forced by the rest of the family, who's all into this stuff. He's like, I saw her body. I accept. And then they talk him into exhuming it.
Right.
So by then he's just done. I just want to move on. That's
fair.
The vibe I got. I'm not putting emotion into all this nonsense.
It's hard to know. It's one of those things where it's just like, is this...
He didn't bother me is what I'm saying.
My issue with him was, it made me go like, is he suspicious or is he just kind of a not great actor? I hate having those questions. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I don't know what you're trying to show me. You know what I mean?
Going that way, I assume they need someone to be suspicious.
Because you don't know...
clearly had lost her mind over the loss of the child. So she was down to believe anything.
No, she was quite good. That actress was good. The brother's motivations were bizarre. We talked about how he faked it for reasons still, like, elaborately faked it, you know, where it's like he's superimposing images to, oh, there's a picture of the girl in the backyard.
But my theory is, this is the child that didn't get any love. Even after the death of the favorite child, that child is still up front and center.
Right.
So this is his chance to, you know, get mom's attention.
So there's all that initial stuff. Then they bring in the psychic to, you know, do some readings. And, of course, doesn't find anything. The mom's going to him all the time. And then later there's the reveal that the girl had gone to the psychic as well. And it's always in his, like, seedy motel room, which I was like, what's up? Is there going to be a reveal about the crazy psychic, is my question.
And of course, the family's paying for all these visits. He's not visiting them out of the goodness of his heart, which I'm sure is also irritating bad actor dad. So money is flowing out because it gives mom comfort. I mean, this is like all the shit back in the olden times, like with Houdini and all the people who died in the Civil War.
The spiritualists.
It's a lie. I saw the Long Island Medium and it was disgusting.
It's awful. Well, it depends.
Lost babies, and she's like, oh yeah. Every answer, the child's always on the other side. They love you, blah 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 blah. I'm like, I'm gonna throw up. Get me out of this fucking place.
You know what it is though? It's like I think I've talked about this before. There was an episode of Modern Family that dealt with this, where was, what's her name? Gloria is going to go to a psychic to talk to her dead grandmother. And the younger daughter with the glasses goes with her to kind of be the Houdini, to kind of reveal like how this is all BS. But she realizes that it's kind of no harm done. It kind of gives Gloria some peace. So she's just like, okay. It's fine. Now, if she's constantly saying...
one off. If she's now, you got a curse and you got to start writing fat checks to remove the curse.
That's different, obviously. Yeah. Right. You're 100%. If it's like, you need to cut me a check for a cool 10 grand to keep this going. Yeah, that's a different kettle of fish. Yeah. So there's all that baloney. And then the reveal of the neighbor is in there. And there's a sex tape. I'm like, where is this coming from?
They're like, well, our movie is about 6 hours long and it's so strange and boring that we need to throw in a little Sin City in there.
Absolutely. So it was like
the neighbors are swingers and they've hooked up their babysitter.
Yes. So it's literally like a threesome. Grainy image. So you could just see some pelvic thrust, but not much else.
Why would it be grainy? Did they just tape over, like, they had their wedding video, so they taped over the Super Bowl, then they taped over there. It's because it's very important that you have an evidence that you're screwing minors.
Oh, 100%. You definitely want to have evidence of your crime that you then hand to the child. Here, why don't you keep this safe for us somewhere?
And then he just disappears?
The whole family. The husband, the wife, and their like kids just disappear. Like they sell the house, they move away, and no one's able to track them down anywhere.
Are they in the outback, just selling drugs, off the grid, all cash? Did they get in a rowboat and row to Tasmania? I mean, how do you just drop off the grid? The whole family.
Who knows? But it's a red herring. It really doesn't matter. It wasn't.
He was like 17. This is like a Prince Andrew situation. So I don't know.
I don't know about all that. But but it didn't seem like there were any ill effects. It wasn't like, you know, after the relationship, she was withdrawn and she stopped hanging out with her friend. None of that had anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It was weird and creepy that you have a video of your neighbor creeping out. And if no one's there, why is he all squat down like a monkey spider? Why wouldn't you just be walking out?
No, everybody's there. This is at night where everyone's asleep.
Oh, I thought this was the video footage when the boy and the psychic were out of town.
No, this is the same footage, the fake footage where it's the brother walking down the hall when they go, oh yeah, that's just the brother. And it obviously was not the girl. The hair was totally different. And it was that footage while the dude's creeping down the hall in the corner. There's the other dude in the bedroom trying to find the missing videotape, evidently.
Interesting. Yeah, that didn't really lead anywhere.
It did absolutely lead nowhere. There's a lot of those kind of things. Oh, this is important. No, it's not. Oh, it's BS. No, it's real. You know, it's like, we saw the video footage. There's a figure in the swamp and then a different photographer from a different angle. Oh, it was just the brother. The brother's wandering around the swamp. still doing swampy things. And it's probably an hour 45 into the movie. They talk about there was some school outing, a retreat or something to Lake Mungo, the titular Lake Mungo, overnight trip, camping trip.
Sounds so dirty. But yeah, so what school outing is where you just dump a bunch of teenagers to clearly get drunk and just run around in the desert or something? This sounds like Palm Springs High School.
It was
just
a church
hanging
group.
Out, having a party in the desert. We built a fort. Somebody's bringing some Lucky Lager, and away we go.
100%. And people are filming on their crappy flip phones. So all the footage of...
That brought memories back. I used to have that, the tiniest Nokia. It wasn't a flip phone. It was the tiniest Nokia, and I had it in red.
And those cameras were worthless.
We still had to text ABC123.
Right.
It took 45 minutes to say, yes.
Well, and the good thing about it is people filmed literally, clearly everything. They're like, hey, there's what's her name digging a hole in the corner by herself. I'm going to videotape that for a few minutes. Yeah,
that's what drunk kids do. They do booty shakes. They sing stupid songs. They pull pranks. That's what the video would have been full of.
Was it also kids digging in holes? Is my question. Is that a lot of? Well, because then they also videoed, and then after dinner, she wandered off in the desert by herself and kind of wanders off. And they video. Yeah. Somebody videotapes her wandering off by herself.
You assume she's going off to take a pee,
or worse, right? Oh, yeah. She's had a big lunch. So then the family goes to the exact spot and finds how she buried her watch, her wallet, and her phone. And that's
the phone, maybe, but why her favorite necklace and her watch? Are they haunted?
Could be.
Would it get from your dead self?
So they watch the footage, and I have to say, this was the one part that sent a little shiver up my spine.
Yeah, you're like, how come this didn't come, 2 hours sooner?
100%. No, it was a little like, ooh, that was a little something. That was a good moment.
It's good, but at the same time, makes no
sense. It makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. You're right. So she goes off into the woods by herself. I don't know why she was wandering off by herself. There was no explanation given for that. But she wanders off by herself into the desert and, you know, a figure approaches in the darkness because it's at night. And it's her scary, you know, waterlogged zombie face, the same face of when they found her body dead after drowning. So she had a premonition of her own death. Is that what we're supposed to think?
But she's too stupid to follow through with it. Because quite frankly, after I saw Jaws, I didn't want to go in our swimming pool. So if waterlogged Aaron comes screaming at me like you, yelling at me, you bitch, I know you're just going to ignore this warning, but don't go into natural bodies of water!
Right. 100%.
Don't even go to a hot tub if no one else is there. If they're leaving, you get out too.
Absolutely. I mean,
then just go swimming. I've been having these dreams of drowning, but I'm just still going to, you know, get in the water. Come on, Sister Sue.
Right.
You got a hand in your own death at this point.
So that was the kind of grand reveal, I guess, right?
Right.
That she saw this premonition, but didn't tell. She went to a psychic afterwards. That was kind of the reveal. And clearly he didn't give her any advice.
I would have take that phone home. I mean, I wouldn't want to look at it, but I'll be like, you look at this.
Right.
Buddy, look at this shit.
Right.
Why are you burying it?
Right. Well, they even said when she came back from camp or whatever, she seemed fine. She seemed fine. Which, like, there was no change in her.
Oh, that's going to F you up.
Yes. Then there should have been something happened at camp. There should have been that moment. But no, it's fine. It's fine until the day she drowns. Of natural causes, seemingly. So.
She's got her swinging porn career to think of. Maybe her, she's got a lot in her mind.
Her porn career. 100%.
No, I'm going to leave Australia, move to L.A. and be a webcam girl.
OnlyFans. Absolutely. I mean, like we said, there's a lot of kind of false starts, a lot of red herrings that don't, and the narrative doesn't really, there isn't really much of a narrative. It's just kind of like, here's some weird shit that happened. Oh, and here's also some weird shit that happened. But who the hell
the
knows?
End's the best. I mean, really, once you get down to the last quarter of the movie is where it shines. But I don't know if the three quarters slow drag build up. It's way too slow.
I
would have never been on any TV because they would have been all edit.
I mean,
the Errol Morris documentary. You know what I'm saying? Where oh Jesus Christ! And I watch 1,000 documentaries, good or bad. This would be the slowest documentary. It's beyond European level boring.
You know, I kind of got the sense, and maybe I'm wrong, that it had kind of an improvisational quality to it. Like, they just turned the cameras on, and the actors kind of just said, like, I'm the one who filmed that shit. I made up those pictures. You know, Why? I don't know. Why do I do it?
With comedy, then, don't you? No. Don't like it.
So... I did not.
That tells me you think it's just bad writing.
Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know.
I mean, it's not a Mighty Wind.
It's absolutely not a Mighty Wind.
Which is also a mockumentary.
It is. This is not a mockumentary, by the way. I wouldn't call it a mockumentary.
It's a mockumentary.
Yes, it is. I mean, I didn't find it as boring as you clearly found it. You found it, tedious.
I was waiting. It reminded me of La La Land, where the first half of the movie I wanted to put a gun to my head. And the second half of the movie, I was just crying the whole time.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, English Patient, first half of the movie, I'm like, oh, I was like Elaine at the movies going, where will this end? And then the second half kind of peaked up, but I was like, she dead.
Rochelle. From Milan to Minsk. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not find it boring. It was just kind of like, in retrospect, you look back and it's just, there isn't like a through line. It's just kind of weird. You know, this happened, then this happened. And it had nothing to do with anything. There's a lot of this had nothing to do with anything. So that's my thought and feeling.
I mean, if you were going to make a documentary, you'd definitely throw in that shit about... Okay, so this is the impression I get.
Please.
They're trying to put this out. Like, they have to address these different issues that end up being nothing because everyone in Australia already knows the story. So you have to cover it.
This isn't real, Aaron.
No. But that's the idea they're putting out. Like,
everybody
knows this story. Like, in this fictional Australia.
In the world of this film. Right.
In the world of this film, this is all things that everyone already knows, so it needs to be addressed. Because, you know, on the news, you hear so-and-so was arrested, but then you never hear what happened afterwards, you know? So they're addressing all these things that popped up. Because at least in this community, everybody knows something about this.
Let me ask you this. Did they ever talk about the police investigating anything in this movie? I don't think they did.
It really didn't. Because they found the body. The child drowned.
Right. They did a search and rescue. They called in the divers or whatever to try to find her.
But I mean, no, it was mostly them. But then they got a court order to exhume the body because there were all these weird photographs of this person in the background.
Right.
When in reality, it was the brother again.
Well, there was.
Are they implying the brother had something to do with the sister's death?
Well, that, again, we don't know why the girl died. At the end of the movie, there's no reveal as to why the girl died.
She drowned. That's all we know.
All we know is she drowned. They were all swimming together. The dad goes, time to leave. And the son and the daughter are in the water together. The son comes back thinking the daughter's right behind him. Turns around. She's not there. And they don't know where she is. And that's it. That's all we know.
Right. Okay.
There's no, they don't tell us who did what or if she, I don't know, got tired and drowned. Who the hell knows? There's no answer to it. And that's the kind of question that moment, the reveal of the premonition was suitably creepy, creepy, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't help us in any way. It doesn't explain anything. It's not a reveal, you know?
Between that and when it's revealed that she's been talking to the psychic about her dreams and then the end of the movie, that was really bad. It was so depressing.
Well,
I see my mom. She can't see me. She's leaving. I'm all alone. That was the best part. Like I said, the last quarter of this was bing, bang, bong.
It was bang, bang, bong.
The first three quarters was like waiting, building. It took me half the movie to, because it didn't feel like a documentary.
You know, I disagree. I thought it very much seemed like a PBS documentary up to that point.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm crazy. But then at the end of the movie, they go back.
They did shuffle in some old footage and stuff like that.
They did that.
But film's expensive. I would have thought even in 2008, it would have been video.
It could have. They could have.
It was most of these, like, a weird thing happened to a weird family in some city in Australia would have been on video. So it would have had that. That would have given it a more authentic look.
At the end of the movie, when everything's cool now, the spirit's at rest or whatever the hell it is, they go back and show all the photos again. All the doctored photos, all the fake videos, and they reveal in each of them the daughter was actually in every one of those pictures, kind of in a different spot looking.
And nobody freaking noticed.
And nobody noticed.
A child dead, you're staring at every inch of every photo you have.
Right.
And you're not going to notice that.
Right.
So that was a little hokey for nokey.
Little hokey for nokey.
Yeah. But the end was very, very sad. With the overlay of her, I mean, that was the genius of the movie. That's why people are talking about it as the end of the movie.
But again, you don't really get to know her. As the movie progresses, they talk to her like classmates. She's like, yeah, she had a lot of secrets. I don't know what accent I'm doing. She had a lot of secrets. She had secrets about having secrets.
That's not even Australian.
I don't know what it is. It could be anything.
Into a Crocodile Dundee.
It is. Dick Van
really
Dyke.
You don't know anything about her.
Right, we don't.
It's all like, they make a big point of saying that the mother has difficulty connecting and pass that on to the daughter.
Right. Right, like the mom had difficulty connecting to the grandmother and, you know, the mother
and
therefore.
And the same with their daughter. She's always holding something back.
Right, right.
Which helps us, knowing this.
Doesn't. And because again, there's no reveal like, oh my God, they're the killer. There's never that moment.
No.
You know, there's nothing.
I mean, I really don't know what to do with this movie.
Right.
Like I said, the end is where it was solid, but it was, to me, it was a very slow buildup.
You know, I agree to disagree. I didn't think it was bad.
I don't agree to that.
I won't even agree to disagree. I agree disagree to that. Let's go behind the scenes, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's see. Director Jordan Peele stated in a podcast with Kiki Palmer that Lake Mungo is one of the movies that scared him the most. Shocking.
The most.
Of all films.
Of all films of all time.
Of life.
Of life, yeah, no. I disagree. And I don't agree to disagree.
When showing the edited photo of Alice's ghost in the backyard, Alice's real spirit can already be seen at the top right of the frame sitting on the bench. There's a lot of these. During the first night of footage, the neighbor can already be seen in the right of the video. So there's a lot of, like, there's things hidden in plain sight, I guess, we're supposed to think.
Easter eggs.
The name Palmer, which was the last name of the family, is likely a reference to Laura Palmer from Twin Peaks, a character who also knew she was going to die tragically before it even happened. She did not drown, but her body was dumped in the water and found washed up on the beach. The show also has some similar themes as the movie, including Laura having many secrets and leading a double life. So there you go. Shall we talk about the cast and crew briefly?
Well, that was a lot of behind the scenes, I have to say.
Not much. Written and directed by Joel Anderson. You know him from Lake Mungo. In 2002, he wrote the short The Rotting Woman. In 2021, he was a script and continuity department on the TV miniseries Clickbait. Oh, good grief. So, not much else going on.
Sorry, bro.
Let's see. The cast. We can do these very, very quickly. Rosie Traynor played June Palmer, the mother. You know her from such things as Lake Mungo. She was in Dark City in 1998.
Never heard of it.
If you saw it, you know what it was. It's a fairly famous thing. She was in something called, one episode of something called Blue Healers, playing a police psychologist in 2002. And she was in one episode of the new Mission Impossible in 1988.
Didn't see that either.
Let's see. David Pledger played Russell Palmer, who was the father. You know him from Lake Mungo in 2008. On one episode of Blue Healers. In 1988, he was in Grievous Bodily Harm, playing Susie's boyfriend.
So I'm guessing all Australian TV.
And in 1984, One Night Stand, playing Tony.
There's always a Tony in a One Night Stand.
Martin Sharp played Matthew Palmer, the brother. You know him from The Evil is Inside. He directed in 2022.
Okay.
He was in seven episodes of Lowdown in 2010. He was in six episodes of Killing Time in 2011. And he directed the short The Crimson Room in 2011.
Okay. That's interesting.
I'm saying these things like we have any idea what they are. Talia Zucker played Alice Palmer, the missing daughter. You know her from Lake Mungo. And she was in one episode of Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries in 2012. And that is it for her acting.
Good heavens.
Yeah. Wah-wah. Shall we talk about the rating?
All right, lay it on me.
Lake Mungo currently sits at 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you know what the audience gave it?
What the 96% mean? 96% of the people didn't leave the theater? Or what is the 96% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I realize I did not explain this to America. 96% means that 96% of the reviews are positive.
And what constitutes positive?
If they use any kind of rating system, it would be anything above, I think it's, is it 60%? Anything above 60 and above is considered a positive
review. Every reviewer gave it a 60%.
It would be 100%.
It would be 100%.
Correct.
100% of people thought it was a D.
Correct.
And that would be an A.
That would be considered 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh. Do you know what the audience gave it?
100%.
62%.
That sounds about
Boom.
Boom.
Now, that may mean 62% of people thought it was the best movie they'd ever seen. Or it may mean 62% of the people who saw it thought it was okay. Doesn't tell us anything beyond that.
This is why we're often confused when we see a movie is like 80% of Rotten Tomatoes and you walk out going, what the hell?
Correct. Here we go. Top critics. Russell Edwards from Variety says, ghostly shenanigans are dryly delivered in the ambitious, restrained, and well-mounted Oz mockumentary, Lake Mungo. Thank you very much.
Oz?
Oz in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not the prison.
Not the prison and not Dorothy. We're not in Kansas anymore. David Stratton at the Movies Australia says, as a ghost story, the underplaying of the actors helps to make the mystery creepily effective, but the mockumentary format is a bit of a cop-out because it allows the filmmaker to avoid all the big dramatic scenes. 3.5 out of 5.
Why would you want to avoid dramatic scenes? Why wouldn't there just be found footage of somebody crying? I don't know. Like the news. It could be the news or something.
Well, the issue with all found footage movies is it requires...
Let's be real. It's not really a found footage. It's a fake documentary. The only found footage...
But that's what he's saying.
Not really found. They found 30 seconds of video on their daughter's phone.
I don't know if it calls itself a found footage.
No.
It calls itself a documentary style. And what he's saying is they can just film people sitting in their chairs talking about stuff. And then they don't have to, you know.
Discuss the past, yeah.
Or show the past. Yeah. You know what I mean? They could just do it with photographs and here's the creepy neighbors or whatever like that. What I was going to say with found footage movies that makes it tricky is it's predicated on people kind of acting unnaturally with cameras. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where you're constantly filming everything for no reason. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, I'm just going to film. I'm filming 24 hours a day and I happen to catch all the most important dramatic moments with my handheld.
Good Lord. I mean, if this is at the beginning, this is the stuff they wanted to keep, what's left?
What's left, indeed. Aaron, what is your rating for Lake Mungo?
I give 3/4 of it like a 2. But I give the last quarter of it like a 3.5. But I know that's not real. So I am going to give it overall, I'll give it a 3 out of 5 creepy neighbors squatting at my bedroom door.
We didn't even talk about the mom's like, I just had to get out of the house. So at night, I'd sneak into my neighbor's house for no reason. Every night. Oh, and everybody knew
neighbor?
It.
Those neighbors? Maybe she was swinging too.
Swing over to my neighbor's house every day.
Hide in their sex dungeon.
Could be. I gave it 3.5 bizarre, unmotivated brothers behavior. I mean, and creepy... Creepy Hungarian psychics who are, he said he was Hungarian, but he was clearly Australian. So I don't know what the story is.
We say we're Irish.
I do not say that.
We've been here for 600 years.
For 600 years.
We came over with the Vikings.
I thought overall it was decent. Interesting. I thought the reveal was spine tingling.
Yeah.
But none of it makes any sense.
The last quarter of the movie is great. The end is sad.
None of it makes any sense. That's all I'm saying. None of it makes a GD lick of sense. I wrote a bunch. I didn't write that many notes. There's like 3 things on here, and I didn't even look at it. So, makes no sense. Anyway, so thank you very much. Go to our page across social media. We're on Facebook, X, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, Twitter. You may be watching our videos on YouTube, for goodness sake. And thank you.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Who's to say? You can also email us on the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you?
Won't you please?
Aaron, what is your social media situation?
I'm just going to tell you that I'm on Instagram. I'm the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I have some artwork on Artsy and First Dibs, Aaron Doherty. Check it out. Check out my Instagram. You want to buy anything on there? I'll sell that to you. What the
hell? Please do. Please do. Indeedly do. As you know, each week we like to have questions, comments from our friends across the interwebs. And discussing our movie, Idle Hands, Anna Davis McWhite says, I heart this movie. I'm under the bed.
I teardrop this movie.
Oh, no.
Idle Hands sucks. Come on.
And Bad Thorn says, Idle Hands, classic. So boom. That explains it all.
Boom.
So next time, we are discussing the immortal classic. I thought it was called It's Alive 2. It's not called It's Alive 2. It's called
It's Dead Now.
It Lives Again. It Lives Again. The sequel to It's Alive. I think it's our buddy Leo was on our show a year or so ago to discuss the original It's Alive. So now he's back and we're going to talk about the sequel, which I have never seen. So we'll have to see what's up with that.
I want to tell you a story. I went to see the William Shatner documentary at the theater.
Yes.
We need to add The Devil's Reign.
I seen it. Love it. It was on Joe Bob, and it is bonkers and off the wall.
Put that on our list.
Add it to the list.
Thing we have to do after all this other guest appearances.
I mean, I'm trying to think. It's not really a Shatner movie. He's in it, obviously, but it's who's the main actor? Tom Skerritt? Tom Skerritt is the main actor of Devil's Reign?
Honestly, I saw it like as a child on like Saturday afternoon.
And this is those lean years. These are those lean Shatner years after the original series was off the air, but before the movies kicked in.
He was homeless, living in a truck.
He was.
After Star Trek.
It was a rough...
divorce about 45 times.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. So you can watch It Lives Again on Apple TV, Amazon Prime Video, YouTube, Vudu. Sadly, full freight. $3.99 to enjoy It Lives Again. So
those bastards at Amazon, every time I go over there, they raise it.
They
do. It used to be $99.
Yes.
Then it was $2.99, and then all of a sudden, I swear to you, when we go, it'll be $4.99.
Well,
tomorrow, it'll be $4.99.
Well, and the gooch now is you pay full freight for Amazon Prime Video, and now if you don't pay extra, they're going to slip commercials in there as well to get you. Which I'm not happy about. So send us your favorite.
They're already nothing for free. They're like, oh, it's a bonus with your $150 membership with your free shipping, where half the stuff offers free shipping even if you're not a Prime member. You get to watch their fucking movies and their fucking music, and it all sucks.
Right. It's a gooch.
Yeah, it's The Book of Kells 5. That's streaming for free.
I believe it. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions about It Lives Again, and we may talk about it on the show. So thank you very much, and be well.
I say good day.